If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, for just a few moments to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 6, Matthew chapter 6. This morning, we did a message. If you were not here, you need to watch it. You need to go on the archive. It will encourage you. We talked about heaven, and Matthew chapter 6, I want you to notice just part of what we would call the Lord's Prayer. And really, it's what we would call the model prayer, things we should include every day when we pray. So Matthew 6, if you'll look down, please, into verse number 9. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So this is not something we're to memorize and say every day, kind of in a chant. If you were in another religion years ago, they would kind of chant these words. But this is topics to include. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's what we talked about this morning. Heaven. Amen. Then he says, hallowed be thy name. And then here's what we'll talk about this phrase tonight. Thy kingdom come. I don't know how many times we've maybe read that or prayed that. Thy kingdom come. So what does that mean? Thy kingdom come. Jesus was asked when he was interviewed by Pilate. He said, someone said, he claims to be a king. And Jesus was looking at Pilate. Pilate said, are you a king then? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Then would my servants fight. He was saying, my kingdom hasn't come yet. And by the way, Jesus is not king on the earth right now. Right. Have you noticed? Satan could just about run for president these days. It's terrible. But what he's saying there is Jesus can be king in our hearts. Amen. There is a flag flown high in the castle of our heart where the king is at resident there. But one day he will be king on this earth. Thy kingdom come. He will be king one day. And that's what we're going to talk about for just a few moments. And I've tried to just make the points, maybe major questions we would have. And with that in mind, let's look also in Revelation chapter 20, the last book of the Bible. Notice there's no S on the end. It's not Revelations. It's just Revelation, which means revealing. So the last book of the Bible is not about just the end of the world. It's all about Jesus Christ. It is revealing who he is. We've often said in Matthew, Jesus is he's the king. In Mark, he's the servant. Luke, he's man. John, he's God. In Revelation, he's judge. And so a different direction there. But Revelation 20 in verse 1. This is when it's just about over. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He'll have no power. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he should be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, it's real interesting, that statement. He's talking about those who had been martyred for the faith. Today, in our country, we don't hear of people being beheaded. That is not a thing that takes place in America. Maybe lethal injection, capital punishment, but not beheading. You only hear about that mostly in Muslim countries. People beheaded. And so this will be a very common way of death during the tribulation period before we come back to rule and reign, the beheading. So that may kind of indicate some of the nations that'll be involved in persecuting the Christians. Amen. Okay, just a thought for those of you that are studying deeply there. And he says, which worship not the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Father, bless now the brief time we have this study in Jesus' name. Amen. So you say, Pastor, so what will it be like? What will it be like once we go to heaven? We mentioned this morning in the message, so many people are confused and they think heaven's just going to be forever and ever and ever us kneeling down. Or maybe forever and ever us raising our hands and saying, praise the Lord. You know, I could say praise the Lord for 100 million years, but after a while I may want to do something else. So is heaven really going to just be a Sunday school lesson forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? I think God indicates some of what's going to take place. I want to give you some of this. So what happens is, if you go to heaven now, you are there, but the big event is going to be when we come back to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It's talked about all throughout Scripture, thy kingdom come. It's called the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign. Someone says, does it really matter if we serve the Lord here? I mean, if you get saved and give your heart to Christ and live for yourself and live selfishly and do what you want to do, does it really matter? Oh, yes, it matters a lot. Amen. And we'll talk about that. So what happens during this 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes back to the earth? Well, one, the curse will be removed. The curse. When Adam and Eve sinned and they took the fruit off the tree, a curse took place on this planet. The thorns started to grow. The snakes began to be poisonous. The animal kingdom, what do you call it? When one eats this one and one eats that one. What do you call that?
Hunger.
Not hunger. What's it? Food chain. Look, this guy knows. Brother Steve, go back to school. Hunger. It's the food chain. The animals weren't eating each other until then. Disease came. Death came. Wrinkles came. Aging came. Many things took place. The earth was cursed. Now, with your Bibles, let's look in Isaiah just for a moment, and I won't wear you out tonight, but Isaiah 11, I want you to see what God's word says about the earth. What's going to happen? When Jesus comes back, this earth, the curse will be removed. What's that mean? No more. No more. Poisonous snakes, no more. Again, bit by a mosquito, no more. The thorns and the thistles, no more. The weeds growing without fertilizing them. So Isaiah 11, look down please in verse 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid or the goat, the calf and the young lion, the fatling together. Notice these animals that would be killing each other. Then it says, and a little child shall lead them. It would not be far-fetched to say, Junior, Daddy and Mommy really love you. We're giving you a cobra for Christmas. And Sally, you've always wanted a lion. We're giving you a real lion for Christmas. You're going to love it. There'll be no more of the death of these animals. Verse 7, the ferociousness and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child, the little baby, shall play on the hole of the asp, of the poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. So all these dangers that would be dangerous now, they won't be then. The curse will be lifted. The animal kingdom will change. No more pain. No more, I sure am tired. Longevity of life. In one place, Scripture says, those that live through the tribulation period, that don't get killed by World War III and all the diseases and cannibalism and the hailstones and all that kind of stuff, those who live and come into the 1,000-year reign, It says, those that die at age 100 will be like just a child. There will be prolonged life for those that are not in their glorified body. Not trying to be too deep here. Number one, the curse is removed. Number two, Jesus will rule. Jesus will rule. It won't be Governor Newsom. It will not be the political people we've had leading our nation. It will be Jesus. Amen. And he'll be the only one that knows what to do to untangle this mess. Now, notice scriptures in Zechariah, the second to last book of the Old Testament. I want you to see this, and I think it'll encourage you. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And we'll look down in verse number 20 for a second. Zechariah 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. It's indicating that Jesus will reign. He will rule the world from the actual city of Jerusalem. He will be there. And they are saying, let's go see him face to face and pray to him in person. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a time on earth when we're not going to fold our hands and close our eyes and say, dear Lord? We'll look him in the face and say, dear Lord. It's going to be an amazing time. This 1,000 years that will be on earth with him. There'll be no outward rebellion. You say, well, what about the unsaved people? Well, will everyone be saved that comes into that time? No, they won't, but they won't talk about it. Because Jesus will be king. He has just squashed all these people at the Battle of Armageddon. That blood is flowing. He's setting up the kingdom. Last part of Zechariah, we are cleaning this world. It says it'll take close to 80 days to clean up stuff. Cleaning up what? We'll be dumping the pornography. We'll be dumping the terrible things on the internet. There'll be liquor flowing in the street. There'll be all sorts of illegal stuff going in dumpsters. God's going to clean house here. None of that's going to be allowed. Amen. So Jesus will rule. So that's what he's saying. Thy kingdom come. One day you're going to be king. One day no one's going to take your name in vain. One day, everyone will love you. One day, everyone will obey you. It will be straightened up one day. Amen. So hold your horses. If you don't like what you're hearing on the news, the king is coming. He's going to reign one day. He'll be in charge. Number three, want to give you this? We'll have new bodies. New bodies. 1 Corinthians 15. We're not going to take a lot of time on this, but I do want you to see it if you're jotting down a reference or want to see it in person. See it face to face. 1 Corinthians 15, and the Bible talks about our new bodies that God is preparing. So an old body could not keep the pace in the new heaven and the new earth. And so we get a new body. Amen. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse 35, last phrase, what body do they come? Verse 40, there's celestial bodies, body is terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. So the bodies will have a different glow or glory to them. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon and the stars. Verse 42, last phrase, it is raised in incorruption. The body will not age, the body will not die, our new bodies. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, in other words, you look like your mama or your daddy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Years ago, I was getting something, when someone stamps something, makes it legal. Yeah, notarized. I was getting something notarized. And the guy there, he looked at me, he said, are you Tom Ray's boy? I said, it depends. I've heard of him. He looked at me and he said, you got his eyes. Now mine are brown. His were green. I don't know how I had his eyes. He said, you got his eyes. You know what he was saying? You look like your dad. There's coming a day in your brand new body where someone's going to look at you and say, you look like Jesus. Amen. You remind me of Jesus. There's something I see in you. Amen. It's Jesus. Amen. We're not all going to look exactly the same, but I want to say this. You'll still be you up in heaven. We're not angels. We're not going to look like these clones. By the way, what a terrible thing. They're trying to clone people. I'm voting for it. I'm for it. Wouldn't you like to be four places at once? I'd love to be fishing. I'd love to be hunting. I'd like to be sowing. I'm just kidding. Okay. Pastor's nuts. This could be a clone here tonight. No. I think they'd be programmed a little better. And so, but our brand new bodies, you're a man. That's who you are. Amen. You're a woman. That's who you are. When they saw Moses after he went up to heaven, he was still Moses. He was a man. When they saw Elijah, he was Elijah. He was a man. You'll be you. Except you'll be the perfect you. Some of you are looking at me real strange. You thought we're all going to look exactly the same. Who's that? I don't know. It's an A32 on their head. Look, we're not going to be robots. They knew Moses, they knew Elijah, they knew Jesus after he rose from the dead. They will know you. Amen. Now we won't have, and I don't know how many tattoos you get to take with you. I doubt you take any of them, sorry. Maybe they'll give you a refund of all you spent, I don't know. But I don't think our scars will be on us. It's going to be a perfect body.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, will you help me here? So, you are kind of what you like. Okay, you help me just for a second, and this may not fly. What do you like doing besides church? Church work, praying, reading the Bible, ministry. I mean, if you had an hour one day, oh, I'd love to just do this, or a day or a week. What do you like to do? Help me here. Someone right here, real quick. Okay, Lori? Cooking. Well, you like to cook. What do you like to do? Carpentry. What do you like to do?
Shopping.
Yeah, Veronica. By the way, she's probably shopping during church right now. Angie, what do you like? Like to go to the beach. Anybody else over here? What do you like to do? I mean, if you could just do something for a day or a week. What, Tammy?
Garden.
You like to garden. How about over here? Anybody in the middle section? What do you like, Steve?
Fishing and motorcycles.
Likes motorcycles, likes to fish. What do you like to do, Candy? Skydiving. Okay. I don't know if she's saved. Okay, let's... Look, the rapture brings you up. No one in their right mind jumps out and goes down. Okay. Anybody else? Please don't talk to her after the service. Brother Chris? He likes to throw axes. He's got an axe to grind. That's why he's trying to get you. I told him, I said, I'm not going to throw an axe. I said, well, and I told Brother Brad, I may ax my mom if I can go. Anyway, so anybody else here? Something you like to do. What do you like to do? What did he say? Play video games? How about over here? Something? Okay. Lisa? Okay. Camping? Anybody else? Aunt Judy? Sewing? Crafts? What do you like? Brother TC?
Biking?
Cyclists? What do you like? All right, Ray Lynn. Good. What do you like, Carol?
Growing flowers.
Okay. So, okay, you ready? If that's part of who you are and it's not evil, why would not some of those things be up there?
Amen.
It's kind of who you are, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm just throwing out a question. Look, pastor's gone off his rocker. Sometimes we just think we're going to be on our knees for all eternity. Give you a thought here. Well, I'm ahead of myself. I got about 14 minutes. I'm ahead of myself. Here we go. Next, look over here in Revelation. Chapter number 21, Revelation 21. And this is something I've been chewing on for a good while. I love this thought. Revelation 21. Let's find out. What are our nationalities here? You know, and let's not do this. You know, I'm Baton Rouge American. or I'm a Louisiana American, you know, but your roots are from a foreign country. I mean, like your mom or dad were born there, or you were. Do we have any roots from a foreign country, different culture? This section over here. What do you have, Rabbi?
Switzerland.
Anybody else over here? What do you have, Sheila? Philippines. Okay. Way back there, Brother Raul. Okay. Born in Michoacan, right? Guadalajara, somewhere. Okay. In Mexico. Anybody else? Foreign background. Where?
Denmark.
Wow, that's cool. Where were you?
Germany.
I'm glad you're clean shaven. Okay. Where, Brother Ron?
Guam.
Guamanian. Anybody else over here? Where? You were born in Portugal, Natalie? Okay, family. You got family back there. Anybody else? Another country here? I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. How about over here? Where, Angie? You got Greek background in your family? Where? Jennifer? Germany. Anybody else over here? Where are you? Spain. Madrid area, right? Mom, dad born over there? Somewhere over there. Okay. Where? Where? Mexico? Anybody else over here? Where? Portugal. Hey, man, I didn't know we had so many foreign countries in our church. Look at this. This is great. Anybody else? Okay, so look down, if you will, Revelation 21, verse 24, and this is talking about the new heavens, the new earth, and it says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. What in the world does that mean? God has allowed all these hundreds of nations with their different cultures, and not right or wrong or wicked, it's just the way they like to eat, the way they like to dress, their festive music. Who's ever been to Disney World in Florida, the Epcot Center? You walk in one door, you're in Switzerland. You walk through another door, you're in Spain. You walk through another door, Epcot Center, the whole world. What's he saying? It sounds like God's going to let some of the cultures from these nations be a part of what heaven is. If you were raised in the islands, the Caribbean, or some of these islands, would heaven be living in an apartment in a skyscraper for all eternity for you?
Amen.
If you were raised in the jungles of Africa and you loved the jungles, wouldn't you like to have a piece of that up in heaven?
Amen.
To remind you of who you are? I can't be dogmatic on this, but what I'm saying is, I think we're going to be real surprised. It's not just golden streets and us wearing a white robe. Nice robe, John. Nice robe, Brett. When we were in, where were we? Where was Mozart? Where's he from? Where's he? Austria, I think. We were at Mozart's house, my wife and I. He had invited us over. He was, you know, we were like 400 years late showing up, but we went to his house. Melanie Ray, who plays the piano, Jonathan's wife, loves Mozart. The guy's unbelievable, his music. She just loves that. She goes, I'm so envious. And I think we bought her a souvenir. I think we spent a dollar, maybe two. I think she would love to spend a little time with Mozart up in heaven, who was the child genius playing concerts around the world when he was not even 10 years of age.
Wow.
I think she'd probably enjoy that. The cultures of the different nations will be brought in. I'm out soul winning. Sometimes I'll have a partner. I'll knock on the door and I'll say, they speak Spanish. And someone will say, ha, look at the yard. See the cactuses? See these words on the house? Someone who speaks Spanish and lives here. This is part of their culture.
Right. Amen.
I just think some of the mansions are not going to all look the same. Okay, this is going nowhere. We better find a landing place here. The glory of the nation shall come into it. Next, quickly. It'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Look in Revelation chapter 21. So for 1,000 years, we rule and reign. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But notice what God calls this. The 1,000 years, the earth has changed, the curse is taken off. Then there's going to be this city, the city of heaven. It's called the New Jerusalem. If you want to hear a cool song, it's online. It's just called the Holy City, New Jerusalem. It'll make your hair stand up. And it's about the city that God is preparing. I go to prepare a place for you. It's one day going to come out of the sky and come down to the earth. We'll have country life and city life. How many city slickers? You want to live in the city for all eternity? I mean, that's kind of what you like. How many are country folk? I want to take a stroll and the trees and the birds and take a walk. It'll be country and city. Country and city. And so we see, notice what God calls it. Revelation 21:1. And I saw what's the next word, class? New heaven. And what's the next word? New earth. He did not call it a non-heaven and a non-earth. He said, it's heaven, but it's new. It's better. It's earth, but it's new. It's going to be better. Okay, for instance, let's say someone here tonight says, Pastor, we bought a new car. I want you to see it. It's out in the parking lot. We bought a new car. One thing I know about it, it's got four tires. That's what cars have. It's got at least two doors. It's got an engine. Unless it's a Tesla and it's got a plug-in long extension cord. Because that's a car. I already know what a car looks like. But God says, earth, it's going to be a new earth. What's that mean? A lot like what goes on here now, but new.
Amen.
Just think, in 1 month, what would you do? You'd probably travel somewhere. Go into the store. You're going to see someone. You'll be visiting people.
Amen.
Right now, in a month, you'll eat some food. Some of you, a lot of food. Some of you will laugh and tell a joke. Hey, get this. Someone recently said, when you go to heaven, God wipes away your memory. Where did he get that? We will remember a lot of things. Say, where do you get that, Pastor? The foundations of heaven are named after the, help me here, 12 apostles. So forever, God will remember they were the 12 apostles. That's going to be remembered. What they did on earth is going to be remembered. The 12 gates, the 12 tribes of Israel, they're named. So there's going to be memories, not sad memories, not bad memories. I love to hear stories. I like to sit down and say, tell me when you got saved. Tell me the greatest day in your life. I love to hear that. Up in heaven, there'll be a lot of that.
Amen.
Except no time restraint. You remember that amusement park Sunday? You remember what happened? There'll be stories like that. What else? I'll close with this. Then there'll also be rewards. There'll be rewards. Matthew chapter 25, if you want to look at it. And then if you're just writing down references, Revelation 4 and 5 talks about us, the rapture, when we go to heaven. We will be given crowns. But notice what he says here. He talks about a man going on a journey. Notice Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He gave unto one 5 talents, to one 2, to another 1. Every man according to his several ability, straightway took his journey. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. Here's what his Lord said unto him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What's that mean for us? Here it is. Does it really matter if we as Christians serve the Lord or not? It's going to matter one day. Because he's the righteous judge. He will judge evil exactly how it ought to be dealt with. He will reward righteousness exactly how it ought to be dealt with. Every act, every thought, every word, every action, every labor, every sweat, every hour, every toil, every prayer, God's going to see it all and reward. And here's what he said, well done. So that's why it's important we do it well. We're doing it as to the Lord. And then done is past tense. That means we finished the job. Not well started, not well attempted, well done. He wants us to finish the job he's given us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job. So well done. Then he says, thou good, that's how we behave, and faithful. Being in our spot.
Amen.
Being in our place. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you went to Brother Cavanaugh's church in Roseburg, Oregon. You commented, it's not a real big church. It's not a real big town. But that man for 29 years was faithful right where he was supposed to be. Turned out great kids, reached many in his town. Faithful servant. We're to be serving. So what happened? What's this mean? He gives us a crown. That's weird. He puts a crown on our head. We're going to be wearing a crown around heaven, and I got more crowns than you, or you got 3, I got 4. No. And I could go through the different crowns. One is for loving his appearance. One is for being a faithful leader, whether a pastor or a missionary or leading some ministry, maybe even leading your family, being a faithful leader. One is going through horrendous trials and making it. One is soul winning and evangelizing. A heart to reach unsaved people. But here's these crowns. Revelation 4 and 5, we get raptured. God puts those crowns on our head. We give them back to him as a thank you. But here's what it means for the 1,000 years. Those that serve faithfully will rule. During the 1,000 years when Jesus is sitting on the throne, we will rule this world. So one day everyone will know how faithful you were. As a reminder, God will have you in charge of things. Those that never served, not in charge of anything. We've often mentioned, I shouldn't even have these on me. Brother Chris DeBritz, wouldn't you know, the axe man. He goes through this little town called Weed. He buys me some breath mints. I love weed. Unbelievable. Now here they are in my pocket. I'm taking one right now, but I have to defer the evil that comes from this man. So here's what the Lord says. You're faithful. You're going to rule one day. You mean I get to rule Los Angeles? You sure were faithful with what God gave you. You're in charge of that. You're the governor of California? Just try to be faithful. I can't wait to see what God gives you. It's going to matter. You say, does it really matter? I'm a teenager. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to stay pure when everybody else is impure. Does it really matter? Oh, yeah, it's going to matter then.
Amen.
God rewards. He rewards the person that takes care of a sick mate. By the way, right now, Pat's the Pirate's just about to go to heaven. Shelley Hamilton was supposed to be our guest speaker this year. I saw a post today. He's just about to go through the gates, about to see Jesus. He said, Alzheimer's for years and a tough go of it. There's going to be a special reward for family members that took care of family members that were ill. And it was their whole life. There'll be reward for those that had physical deformities and their body was not natural. And it was not normal like everyone else's. And they had to deal with that. God's going to reward that.
Amen.
We're going to be glad that we served Him. And then I want to end with this. Heaven's going to be full of people. It's just going to be full of people. If you're not a people person, you're going to hate heaven. Some of you say, I just want to check in my mansion. Just leave me alone. Just no one talk to me. But God will change you. Because you're going to walk down the street and say, who's that? And you're going to see familiar faces. You're going to see Bible characters. You're going to see historical figures. You're going to see politicians. There might be one there, not many. You're going to see people you've heard about, read about your whole life. You're going to say, that's him. That's Moody. There's Spurgeon. There's where Billy Sunday lives. There's Fanny Crosby. She's got eyes to see. Tell me your... We'll have all eternity to hear the stories. Meet the Bible characters. And I think one question won't be asked, and I'm finished. You ever gone through something, and you said, as soon as I get to heaven, that's the first question I'm asking God. I'm going to ask Him why this happened. You ever done that? I've said that before. When you get there, you're going to forget all those questions. It's not even going to matter. You're going to say, wow. Sometimes God allows something we don't understand for a greater good. Here's my wife was in the hospital 80 days. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. But today she got to give one of her books about her story to an unsaved visitor. Was that worth going through all that to get someone to heaven one day? Oh, sure. Amen. And only God sees all that. Thy kingdom come. I think this morning, I watched your eyes when we opened the door and the music and the cheering. If it would have been heaven, 20 of you would have just run right through the door today. Let's be thinking about it. It's greater than you can ever imagine. Let's serve Him. It is worth it. It's worth it now. And it will be worth it later. And you'll be glad that you did.